Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 30, episode 1 of Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For May 7th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Bron James. Sure. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DN Gray. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DN Gray. I got Miles with that TNC, THC inside my DN Gray. Damn it! It was too complex, that's why I'm not a rapper and I'm a second-rate podcaster. But thank you to Skirt Nowitzki for that, aka on Twitter, also amazing handle. Also, shout out to the two guys at the Kentucky Derby who were hitting me on Twitter talking about the Daily Zeitgeist. I didn't believe it, but they showed me a picture. So shout out to you, Adam and Clayton Barnes, for taking that photo of y'all at the infield. And maybe next time I will go to the Derby because I hear it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're at like the world's biggest party, or the biggest party in America, all that happens consistently every year. And they were thinking about the Zeitgang.
Wait, so. It's the biggest party of the year?
I think it's the biggest party in America.
Because the same guy was like, you should check it out on Netflix. There's a thing about how it's like one of the biggest events, but isn't like
it's pretty big.
The ball drop also count? That's
yeah,
probably
I
the
mean,
biggest, right?
Yeah, okay, go to that and then tell me how much fun that is.
I won't go to Times Square.
Don't you have to like wear diapers? It's just like being held in place in the freezing cold for like 10 hours.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been, but the ball drop looks fucking miserable.
I've never been, but
I've been to the Derby many a times. And
the Derby.
It is a good time.
This ain't no push cart Derby.
But we are thrilled
cool
to
runnings.
Be joined in our third seat by the hilarious stand-up comedian Fahim Anwar. What's up, man?
Thanks for having me. Good.
How are you?
Good. Yeah.
All right. So hit us with that rap, AKA.
I just came prepared.
Who's your favorite rapper, Fahim?
Who do I like?
Do you like rap?
Yeah, I like rap.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just making sure. Some people like.
I think it's a phase.
Yeah. It'll be done. It'll be back to old hymns.
I literally think every parent said that at least once. Like,
if they were white.
Every white parent, probably.
My dad was like, yeah, we fucking with this right now. I remember I got yelled at for rapping Cypress Hill. Like, when the first album came out, I was like, when the shit goes down, you better be ready. And he was like, that song's about young men killing each other. I want you singing that filth.
Yeah.
And then he put the Two Live Crew on. So, whatever. You got to pick your battle spirits.
Right, right.
Yeah, I had to hide my... I couldn't listen to it in public. You know, I'd have to like do it in my room, and if they came by, I'd have to shut it off.
Right.
You're like... Because like Death Row Record stuff when I was growing up.
So,
like, she'd walk into the room doing my homework. It's like, Angie, I'm like, my balls. And I'm like, I got to...
Yeah.
It's just the worst timing.
Right. You point at your headphones, you're like, it's actually Mozart.
Good study in music. Fahim, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I think I searched for this yesterday. I searched best way to cook frozen hash brown patties. Yeah.
Very specific.
Because I was doing it a certain way, and I wasn't happy with the way I've been doing it. And I go, there's got to be a better way. And that's what Google's for.
A better
did
way.
Did you find a better way?
I did find a better way.
Wait, what do you mean the frozen, like the Orida, like pre-made joints? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, or I get the Ralph's, the Kroger. Big fan of Kroger. I also have this idea for like a janky Freddy Krueger, but his name's Freddy Krueger.
Oh, hell yeah. Just off-brand.
Yeah, just off-brand Freddy Krueger.
And it's just the blue striped sweater instead of like the actual Freddy Krueger.
And it's X-Acto knives for a glove. So like when you get those patties, any of them, you know what I mean?
Oh, like the kinds that are like the McDonald's, like pre-made, self-contained.
Yeah, they're just frozen and there's 10 of them in a thing. So it's so easy to make breakfast. So I'll put oil in the pan and I'll do that, but it just takes forever. And then it's kind of... mushy in the middle. It's not as crispy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I searched and then they say you just put it in the oven, 450, 20 minutes. And I had
that's
reservations when I read that. I'm like, that's a long time. I don't want to wait 20 minutes. But really it's not. You do other shit.
Right.
Right.
Just put it in the oven and it's so much better. And it's
everything
not messy.
Everything is better in the oven, you realize.
Yeah, and I don't have to clean the pan again to make the eggs. Just deal with the time and do the oven, people.
Yeah. So how do you time it? You got the oven going.
All right, I hit it with a preheat for 10 minutes.
Right,
you
okay,
preheat.
So we got 30 minutes.
So it's a commitment. Yeah, it's a bit of a commitment.
Right.
Just make your coffee, do the other stuff.
Sure, I have 50 minutes every morning to prepare my breakfast.
You're late for work again.
Yeah,
look, man, I'm not eating a soggy-ass hash brown.
Yeah, I'm assuming everybody who's listening is a stand-up comedian who has a lot of free time in the morning as well.
Right.
I think most people are listening on their commute, and they're going to be like, I actually just go to Hardee's, go to McDonald's, pick up that joint.
Yeah, just swing by, have someone else do it for you.
Yeah.
That's an option.
I've told people how to reheat their pizza on air, right?
Oh, wait. You is have? It with the pan?
Okay. Yeah, with the pan. That shit is good.
A little bit
how
of water.
How do you do it, though? Like, don't you need a cover for it, too, or no?
Yeah, you just need a pan with a lid that you can put on top, and then you just get it until the crust is crispy or the bottom is crispy. Then you put a drop of water, put the lid over top of it for 1 minute, and it comes out feel like brand new.
So what does a drop of water do?
It gets in the, it sort of moistens the crust. So it makes the top of the crust soft. So it's not like all, you know,
it's
sometimes
hard,
when
like
you like, yeah, when you put it in the oven and it's like all like a,
yeah,
too dry. This kind of makes it so that it's like it just came out of the box.
Did you do that with your leftover Pizzana pizza when we went out to dinner that one time?
I did not get to eat that, actually.
Oh.
That was taken down by
M'lady.
M'lady.
Well, shout out to also James over there. For,
yeah.
That wonderful meal.
That was some good shit. Fahim, what is something that is overrated?
All right, so I have very strong opinions about this. So sometimes when I'm in a new town or something, or I want a coffee shop, people will fuck with five stars, and it's always crazy. You'll go there, there's nowhere to sit,
right?
And it's just annoying.
So like, these are my Yelp.
Yeah.
What do you mean by five stars?
Yeah, sure. Yelp. Just if you're using an app to find a place.
Got you.
But especially with coffee, I think. So I don't fuck with five-star coffee places anymore just because it's too much going on. There's nowhere to sit.
Right.
I'm all about three-star coffees.
Ooh.
Because, like, how are you going to fuck up coffee that bad?
What?
It's not going to be that.
Right. Depending
on. The delta isn't as big as, say, a restaurant or something.
Right.
And you're shelling out $5. So I value space and no people over a smidgen better coffee.
Right.
So fuck with the four and threes.
So you're talking about five star on Yelp or any review thing,
or like
not
a rating,
not a brand named five star.
Wait, yeah.
Okay.
Just for us who don't know,
right?
For people out there, we're not talking about a specific.
You don't
brand.
Have to apologize for me, Miles. Okay.
Well, okay, sorry.
Just because there's never any room at a five star place when it
right.
comes to coffee.
Yeah,
a lot
no,
of times
no, no,
I
no, totally.
Well, yeah, especially like when you're like, what's the like Alfred Coffee and shit out here in LA, where it's a fucking scene where it looks like the VIP area of Coachella or something. Like
right.
you don't understand. A, why people are so well-dressed to sit down to grab a cup of coffee, or like, I feel the exact same way. I feel like coffee, pretentious coffee place is really,
overrated, by the way.
Well, just now that I've gotten older too, I find myself valuing my time.
Yeah.
Over, like I can't do lines anymore.
Right.
Like I will not stand in a line.
You just do bumps off a keynote?
That's what I thought. I was like, yeah, me neither, man.
This is a drug podcast,
right? Yeah, I stopped
right?
that for a while.
No,
that's
just
cool,
like.
I stopped that years ago.
Just lines for, sometimes I'll go into a Starbucks or something and there's a huge line. I'm like,
yeah,
see
yeah,
you
yeah.
later. I'm going to do this.
Smell you later,
yeah,
Starbucks.
I'm just going to go to McDonald's and get a, like, I don't want to stand in this line.
Right.
I also just don't like people, so I get that.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you want to just sit down. Not being able to sit down. That's the same thing with bars, too. I prefer to sit down because I'm ailing now physically as I get older.
Yeah.
I need to sit down.
Any bar that's, like, too deep at the bar when it, like, that's, can't
oh,
go.
Fills up.
Yeah, too deep people,
nah,
like, where you have to wait for somebody to get the bartender's attention. You have to, like, look and be like, all right, which one of these people is going to get the bartender's attention first? And, yeah.
We
don't
call that.
Don't go for like the white dude with a baseball cap on. They never get the bartender's attention.
We call this bar science.
I think that's so true. I think there's no shortage of mediocre coffee places that are like cool and like have a nice vibe to them.
Yeah.
It's just they're not like fashionable or whatever.
True. And also, like, even when it comes to Blue Bottle or whatever, and people rave about it and it's really hyped right now. It's kind of frustrating when I go in there and there's a line or something, and all I just want is a regular cup of coffee.
Right.
I don't need a beaker.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't need you to make it with a Bunsen burner.
But they're like, this has chicory in it.
Yeah. Or you watch the guy pour it over, and it's like a Benihana of coffee now.
Right.
I just, it'd be cool if people who are in a rush
right.
just have a separate regular drip Blue Bottle, which I'm sure would be great.
Yeah. Right.
That's fine. I don't need to see your science experiment, and then it just takes too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's becoming more complicated.
Do you have time for a pour over? It's going to be 30.
Yeah.
I have time for a what?
And then you go in there, you just want a coffee, and they're like, what part of the world do you get? Just a coffee. I don't know.
Right. Is there anybody who like knows the difference between the continents that the beans come from?
I'm sure someone does.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. But like, actually, I'd love to see them nail a blind taste test I bet they're, yeah. When you like give. Like wine experts, grape juice, and it's like a blindfolded taste test.
Sure.
Like they don't know what the fuck.
I wanted to do
about.
this like sketch where it's a man on the street where I set up some pop up shop and it's like super swanky coffee place and we have all these hipsters and it looks super cool.
Right.
The baristas have suspenders on,
mm.
and so this is going. It's up for like a day, And there's hidden cameras and stuff. And then halfway through, I just go, attention, everybody. You've been drinking Folgers.
Folgers
and then, and then I get into like a helicopter. It's just like the most elaborate
juices
just to fuck with hipsters.
When really, this sounds like you made an ad for Folgers.
Pretty much.
And they didn't even know.
I know.
If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you, Folgers.
Right. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Oh, crock pots.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just throw it in and forget it. Yeah. Set it and forget it.
You've been cooking with a lot of crock pots?
I mean, I have one, and it was great. I went through a phase. I got to get back into it.
Yeah, yeah.
If you rarely cook, that's the next step up, because it's cool to cook something you're not even really trying. You just dump them with just stuff.
Right, right,
right.
Yeah, it's pretty low risk for most people.
Yeah,
If your prior cooking experience to that is maybe scrambling eggs.
Uh-huh.
The slow cooker, especially, do you have like an Instapot that's like also a pressure cooker?
Oh, damn.
Oh, my God.
Pressure cookers, that is.
Yo, and this isn't even an ad, bro. See, this is how they need to start getting these ads. Should I really fuck with? I mean, it's, you want to talk about a easy meal.
Woo. So what can you cook with it? Or how's that different than a crock pot?
You can braise meats.
Yeah.
You can do shit so tender because
so
it's pressurized.
Tender.
Woo, boy.
I had no idea. But yeah, that shit is, it just makes the meat so tender for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, just over time, it just helps break down the meat more than like traditional slowly braising it. Yeah.
How long will it cook in?
Like an hour?
Yeah. No time. Get your beans done right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing with the crock pot, though, is like, I think I'll be hungry in 4 hours.
Right. Yeah.
You're like planning your life in four and 6 hour increments.
You just have to
increment.
Put a whole chicken in because, it needs to be able to like feed you for multiple meals to be worth it.
Yeah, it'll be funny. I'll be out and about and they're like, hey, you want to go eat? And I go, I got to get home or the house is going to burn down.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they died in This Is Us, you know?
Oh my God, spoiler alert.
Actually, I don't think anybody dies. From the crock pot. There is a house fire caused by a crock pot.
Look at this guy.
I'm being given the.
We're gonna put on sirens before that one in the edit.
All right, but yeah, those are dangerous. I think pressure cookers.
That'd be great if there was a podcast called Spoilers and you just ruin everything.
Yeah,
I'd just chime in with an Infinity War spoiler.
Yeah. Do you want to? I saw it this weekend.
So what's up with Thanos? No, I'm just kidding.
That shit is crazy. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I just saw people writing about it to some shit. Whatever. Anyway, moving on.
It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And I saw A Quiet Place over the weekend. And that is
that's a great movie.
Check out Mr. Free Time over here.
I got the in-laws in town, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, so I got some free babysitting. So I saw two movies, and A Quiet Place is, we were like, we'll go to the movies for like a nice carefree time. That is the most stressful 90 minutes of my life. So stressful. And it's like little kids, like little boys are like at stake. And like, you know, I can't even watch nature documentaries anymore because like the young animals get
like
if
a hatchling falls out of the nest,
like too much for me. And like, so this fucking movie, man. But
if you ever want to make an attack at about Jack, just take that part.
He's like, I can't even watch nature documentaries.
I'm such a soy boy. But it's from being a father.
That movie, it does seem stressful. I mean, I feel like that's pretty apparent from the trailer because it seems like the film could have just been called Shut the Fuck Up. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if you want that as a film.
I didn't know what
experience.
It was about until I saw it, really. I saw mostly billboards instead of ads and stuff.
So I didn't know
there's an element to it that I didn't, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Super producer Anna Hosnia has come in with
stop the presses
with the question that will now ruin A Quiet Place for you because you will be thinking about
this.
What happens if you have to fart? We never see anyone defecate in the whole
movie. Wait, because the movie is about monsters who they're attacking is based on noise. So if
everything
you make a sound,
is silence.
Yeah.
So
any deviation from that means you will stand out the monster or there's monsters, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What if the writers, just like at the beginning of the movie, goes, it's the future. Humans no longer fart. Just to cover that base. Like it makes no sense.
That's part of the elevator pitch?
Yeah.
All right, what's your movie
There's so
about?
Much exposition
so
just to
keep
cover
in
that.
Mind.
Okay, all right. Yeah. It's like
they've learned to fart silently.
2030.
The year is 2030.
Where
farting
if they had like
no
a whole,
longer exists.
If they had a whole contraption, you know how they have the contraption for the baby? If they had like a farting contraption.
It's just like a funnel that they pass around.
With just like an ass-shaped funnel. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But I highly
and it says Bose.
The Bose Whisper Quiet Fart Silencer B plug. Everyone just has one in for the entire. Where's your silencer?
And then Bose comes out with a line, so the whole movie was just promo for this fart silencer.
But they're so committed that like everyone's just wearing a cumbersome like fart silencer the whole movie. Great question, Super Producer Anna Hosnia. That's why we keep her around, you guys. All right, Fahim, and finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false?
Myth. I think, because like I've been on TV or I'll do an acting thing here or there, some people think just because you're on TV that you're rich, and that's not true at all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's so many people on TV who don't make a lot of money. Yeah.
Right.
You've had some great stand-up sets on late-night shows, I know, that I've seen, and yeah, I assumed that you're a millionaire now.
Yeah.
Not at all. No. Came from a studio in Cape Town.
Oh, wow. You're recording an album?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so a studio apartment.
Well, it functions as both, you know?
Oh, damn. So, yeah. Maximize the space.
Why not sleep where I spit fire?
Yeah, exactly. And oddly enough, my apartment did catch fire last night. From my crock pot.
The crock pot, yeah.
Bring it all back to This Is Us, as we always do on this show.
You did it again.
We are trying to take a sample of the national shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now. And we wanted to start out with the man who has sort of dominated the brainwaves of America over the past weekend, going into the end of last week. He is America's mayor. Mr. Rudy Giuliani was just bringing it. So he had this appearance on Hannity last week where it seemed like he was just, you know, had lost his bearings a little bit, was like sort of an old man who we might want to like feel sorry for because he didn't know what he was saying was wrong or like wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, if you believe his telling of events.
Right,
sure.
Right. That he wasn't supposed to be saying that. And then they just came out and it was almost like when someone stumbles and then pretends to start running because they're like trying to make it look like they meant to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he just did that shit like for the whole weekend, like every show. He went through every show and was just saying damaging shit the whole time.
And
it was amazing.
Even the surrogates that they put out there couldn't even, because he set off basically with his words, completely changed the way everyone is now looking at the Stormy Daniels case, like basically saying like, yeah, the president lied about not knowing about it. He knew and he even paid for it, like, and completely blew up the narrative that they were trying to push to defend the president. And then now everybody's like, oh, he doesn't know what he's saying. Oh, it's very inaccurate. Yeah, maybe I did know. Like it's caused so much chaos. And that's the great thing when there's like a huge group lie, but it's so uncoordinated.
Oh, yeah.
We're now in this section where everyone's trying to put the fires out, but doesn't know what to do. So, well, I think the first person who was just trying to do a little damage control was Roy Blunt, who went on to Jake Tapper to basically, like, Tapper was like, yo, what's good? You have a president who is just says things that are factually inaccurate, false.
Right.
How do you trust? Anyway, so that's the question he's posing to the GOP of sort of like, isn't this a bad thing?
Because
that's the first thing we'd want to address.
Yeah,
right?
He's like, I mean, remember when Clinton told a lie to the American people and you guys like lost your shit?
Right.
So the Washington Post has fact checked you guys as president and he's told 3,000 lies.
That's not even a joke.
He's averaging 8 to 9 significant misstatements of truth a day.
I mean,
since he's been in office,
he's the newest member of Outkast. Trump lied 3,000. So anyway, listen to Roy Blunt trying to, I guess, rationalize why they still haven't. Just listen to this bullshit.
Well, you know, that Trump persona has not changed since the campaign.
Does it bother you, though?
It would bother me less if we weren't getting things done. You know, what the regulators are doing, I think the tax package better than I would have expected. I think the foreign policy. President was left with lots of problems. We'd had about 8 years where we acted like the United States of America was basically any other country in the world, and a lot of things got off track during that 8 years. I think the president stepped in a way that has helped that pretty demonstrably.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about Obama, though.
Let's
talk about the real villain here.
Every defense is look over there. What about that? And I mean, basically, this is their bargain. This is their devil's bargain, right? Their deal they made is like, we'll just pretend we support this guy and he's not a total disaster because we can, you know, get around and circle jerk off on the dead body of the middle class, what's left of it, with like this tax scam and the deregulation and all this crazy shit that they don't care, as long as it's like, it's none of what he said is actually truly beneficial to the rest of the world. Possibly the diplomacy that will happen with North Korea, I think that is a positive for sure, but I don't think any of the deregulation is good. I don't think any of like this tax bill is good. And people aren't really feeling the benefits of that. And also, the stock market is not like in fucking turbo drive right now either from it. They got their little Christmas gift and we're like, all right, pass it on to the shareholders, basically. So that was the first step. Clearly, this is a problem because the GOP is what's really, you know, they are really the ones that are truly responsible for everything right now, because they are enabling this mess and they're co-signing it. And their response to, hey, the president is lying, is that a problem? Is just going, shrug. That's right. Not a thing. That's not leadership. So that really is the reason why it makes the midterms really, really important, because you have to let people know, like Roy Blunt, who want to act like, oh, well, you know, he's been this guy forever. Wait, what about Obama?
Right.
Like, no. People have real problems. There are veterans who need help. There are people with mental health issues that need help. There are people who their health insurance situation is terrible. There are people who need fucking help. And just to be so dismissive is so, it's so disingenuous and disgusting. Anyway, everybody who wants to explain away why Trump, hey, he's been doing this in the beginning, yo, you guys should be, watch your backs for the midterms, because that's the only way we can really communicate to the powers that be that people are not stupid and this is not actually a winning strategy. But anyway.
I mean, I'm still reeling from the imagery of Roy Blunt and Paul Ryan and Newt Gingrich jerking off on like a dead construction worker's body, I think.
Oh my God.
Is what I had in my mind.
With this job, you could have put four kids through college in the 60s.
Right. But I do need you to use your Dennis Miller joke that you wrote for this.
Well, this is later. This is coming up, babe. I got a Dennis Miller joke that you're going to fucking love. Anyway, so moving along. So that was step one of Damage Control Party. Starring Rudy Giuliani. Then he went on Judge Jeanine Pirro, who, if you remember, she was actually famous because of our boy Mr. Durst, Robert Durst, because I think wasn't she the prosecutor in his first New York case? Anyway, she's now like Trump's second best homie over there, Fox, next to Hannity, and she kicks off her show because I think her way of sort of, you know, changing the narrative of this whole discussion is by just attacking the DOJ and just saying, well, the laws are bullshit and the DOJ is bullshit. So She starts off by just, you know, taking a shot at Jeff Sessions.
Because he convinced a dithering, unsure, insecure, uncertain, spineless, timid attorney general just appointed by the president to back off and renege on his duty to run the Department of Justice.
Wow. I thought she was going to say uncircumcised when she said uncertain. I was like, dithering, uncircumcised. And I was like, whoa, where is this going? Anyway, she said uncertain. Besides that. It's clear that they were setting up a show to just be like, Trump is not the problem. It's everything else.
Right.
So then Rudy comes on and they just have to, again, raise the specter of Hillary.
I mean, this has been the strategy since, I think last week, Rudy compared the FBI. Again, this is the Department of Justice, the FBI. Like, these people who are supposed to be the right wing's friends, he called them stormtroopers last week.
And not a, like that Nazis. Wasn't a Star Wars reference.
No,
yeah,
because
it was
Nazi
May the 4th.
Reference. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's losing it. Because he was the one who's in contact, who had contacts at the FBI in New York, which people were claiming that's how he had information about what was going on with the Hillary investigation. Right. So suffice it to say, he gets on. Jeanine does the alley-oop throw up by talking about the DOJ. And then Rudy casts his distraction spell together with his homegirl, Jeanine Pirro, and they do Emilius Clintonis to, you know, just let's take the conversation somewhere else.
I mean, when you juxtapose that against the so-called investigation of Hillary Clinton, where she was basically given a warning, she deletes, she
nice.
Deletes bits, she, yeah.
Nice. Poor little Hillary. We got to be nice there.
Ugh. The
He's
way
petting his hand
his
at that
own
point.
Hand, yeah,
like, oh, nice.
Like, what do you pet like that? What have you, that, anyway, God, Rudy, please. But, I mean, this thing.
It almost sounded like a WWE patter.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, poor little Hillary, when I get her in the ring.
Yeah. Oh, afraid of a steel cage match, are you? So, again, they just went on there to spin their wheels and just deal in dumb conspiracies. And then he really capped it off by going to see George Stephanopoulos on ABC, I think yesterday. And, like, you know, this is the crazy part, because George Stephanopoulos is just, I don't know, using, like, facts and actual quotes from Rudy Giuliani to ask him about what he was saying. And Rudy just sounds like a guy caught in a lie with no finesse. He's just, like, humming and hawing. So this is, again, part of what Rudy Giuliani was trying to say, I guess, was that what he says isn't always words that are truth. Sometimes he'll speak as – let him explain.
The other day you also told BuzzFeed, though, that at some point after the 2016 election, Michael Cohen had complained to some people that he hadn't been paid by Donald Trump. And that so then you said Cohen met with Trump and told him, and Giuliani said that we'll cover your expenses. They worked out this $35,000 a month retainer after that. So the president did know about this after the campaign.
Right.
Can't say that. I mean, at some point, yes, but it could have been recently. It could have been a while back. Those are the facts that we're still working on, and that, you know, maybe in a little bit of dispute. This is more rumor than it is anything else.
But that's what you said. You said that to BuzzFeed.
But here's the I mean, that's one of the possibilities and one of the rumors. The reality is
you stated it as fact.
Well, maybe I did, but right now I'm at the point where I'm learning, and I can't prove that. I can just say it's rumor. I could prove it's rumor, but I can't prove it's fact.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck?
And just imagine.
Rudy! Come on, my man!
Is he stuck because he has to toe the line with Trump, but then also the investigation, so he can't, like, he'll implicate himself if he says I did? So is that why he's doing all this stuff?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, trying to figure out, like, but he's the lawyer. He's the one who's supposed to be telling Trump not to, like, say off-the-cuff shit like this. But instead, he's just free associating off the top of his head. And I think they have figured out how to have a administration of, you know, criminals that are, like, built around this one guy who's always talking off the top of his head. But then adding a second just completely chaotic mind into that, who is just always on Fox and Friends, just, like, fucking talking
because
shit.
Because, like, the way that this administration and Trump is, like, trying to navigate this controversy is like that scene in Entrapment where Catherine Zeta-Jones has all those lasers that she's trying to avoid, right? Without, like, you know, has to finesse all these lies and not get tangled and shit. And that's a good lawyer be like, my man, this is what you're looking at. So you're going to have to walk through this motherfucker very carefully.
And then Giuliani's like a cat that just
got let out. Fucking, this dude just does a fucking cartwheel through the thing. He's like, yeah, fuck it, man. I don't know. I may be hitting all the lasers. Like, it's just so, so disorganized. And look at it. Now we look at it, babe. This firestorm, I mean, this brings me back to my Dennis Miller joke. I mean, we haven't seen a firestorm like this since Cersei Lannister used the Mad King's leftover stash to blow up the Sept of Baelor. Cha-cha-cha.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, thank you so much. I got a Game of Thrones singing there.
And you want that only took you like 3 days to write, whereas Dennis Miller, it takes him 4 days.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That was good work.
Did he come out with it, or are we still waiting?
I think we're still waiting, actually.
I feel like I haven't heard it yet.
I think he put out like a sample that was like so whack that didn't even, like, I looked at it, and I was like, wait, this is the joke that he was teasing 4 days in advance.
That's the trouble.
And it only had like five
that
retweets.
Only works,
like, nobody
with
gave a
music.
Shit.
Music. You don't say, like, I'm about to drop some hot shit.
Right. Drop a hot tweet.
Wasn't it something where he's like, oh, they should call her Michelle Wolf because she looks like Beethoven, the dog from that Charles Grodin film from 1992.
That was it.
Yeah,
and,
like, it was,
and I had to check to make sure it wasn't like a parody account.
It
was,
because
it was so fucking whack and, like, just like so on the nose bad Dennis Miller joke. But yeah, calling women dogs is fucking super chill and awesome and of the moment. One thing we do have to give Rudy Giuliani credit for, though, is this motherfucker gives the greatest stills, just like the greatest screen caps you've ever seen. He, like, goes between just, like, wild-eyed madman, who kind of looks like one of my uncles, but that's beside the point, like, into straight-up looking exactly like he's doing an amazing impression of Nosferatu, like he has his hands right and everything. He's just been a font of amazing screen grabs.
Yeah, like, it's, like, because when you look at the screen grabs, you're like, how the fuck did he even do that while he was talking?
Right,
because, like, literally, people who listening, Zeit Gang at home, look in your rearview mirror of if you're driving, or a mirror, open your eyes as wide as you can, and then make like a kind of face where you chomp your bottom lip with your top rope. He's weaving those kinds of facial expressions naturally into being like, well, I figure, like,
he has the most denture confidence I have ever seen in my life because he just, like, he smiles so big, like, up to his gums, but, like, his dentures are clearly loose in his mouth as he's talking, so it's very confusing.
Is denture technology that bad? Because my grandfather, when he got his dentures, the shits were so big, it looked like, I don't know if you remember the Dennis the Menace movie when he knocked out Walter Matthau and he put chiclets in there, and the shit looked like just big-ass tiles in his mouth.
Right, right.
Can they not figure out the bite? Because I feel like everybody, or I guess you just have to get used to having fake teeth in your mouth, but I feel like that's like a thing. Like, when the dentures come in, the teeth get bigger, you start lisping a little bit.
Yeah.
Come on, finesse the installation.
Yeah. All right, we're way over time for this segment, we're going to go to our first break, and we'll be right back after that. And we're back. And real quick, during the break, we were trying to figure out why he has Giuliani doing it. Like, shouldn't he be able to hire better people?
They don't want to work with him.
Yeah, it could be that he's... you know, burned through all the people who would work with him that know how to do the law. There's also, like, if you read Putin's philosophy on propaganda, his whole philosophy is, like, shifting ground of truth. Like, you tell 30 different lies about the same story, and people just get exhausted. And, like, that's how you do propaganda. Rather than, like, keeping the same lie, people can just debunk that. It's almost like the Gish Gallop that we've talked about on the show before, where it's, like, you know, you tell a simple lie that takes like 30 words to debunk, and in doing that, you're making your opponent like use up more energy essentially. That's like an actual debating technique.
Yeah.
And it seems like if you are telling 30 different lies that they have to keep debunking and debunking, then like you kind of win because people just stop giving a shit.
No time to get to the truth of the matter.
Right. But all right, so let's move on to real quickly a tweet from the president of the United States, because West Virginia is going off the rails. West Virginia has a Republican primary going on. People think that the Republicans actually have a pretty good chance of knocking off the Democrat who is currently the incumbent in the Senate race.
And former governor, Joe Manchin. Yeah,
former governor, Joe Manchin. And unfortunately for them, so there is this guy that we talked about last week, Don Blankenship, who is a convicted felon. He basically is a cartoon villain of what a Republican would be. He owned a coal mine in West Virginia where, like, actual blue-collar people worked, like the type of people who represent all West Virginians when you picture West Virginia. He killed 29 of them through just neglect and not giving a shit about the fact that there were all sorts of health and safety hazards that were being brought to his attention. So he's like...
yeah, he's a third rail candidate.
Yeah, really not who you would want. But he, you know, we talked about the fact that he was running last week. Well, a poll came out. He is currently up 3 points on the other Republicans.
However you look at it. And also, they just know he has so many negatives that, like, in a greater state election, he's going to turn off a lot of people who were even thinking about leaning the other way. It's just like, oh, the guy who fucked the mine up a few years ago versus the guy who was governor and exposed him. Like, they're just setting up this same sort of relationship again. Anyway, if you know any registered Republicans in West Virginia, please have them cast their vote for Don Blankenship so he can actually be in the race, because they know if with Don Blankenship as the Republican candidate, that makes Joe Manchin's defense a little bit easier. I mean, he's still going to face a tough reelection bid. But with that said, Donald went on to Twitter and told people, to the great people of West Virginia, we have together a really great chance to keep making a big difference. Problem is, Don Blankenship, currently running for Senate, can't win the general election in your state. No way. Remember Alabama? Vote Rep Jenkins or A.G. Morrissey. Now, I remember Alabama. That was when you endorsed Roy Moore, the pedophile.
Right.
And then he took the biggest L. And then you suddenly were like, well, you know, he was a loser the whole time. It's funny that he was basically warning people, don't make the same mistake I did, I guess, would be another way to phrase that tweet.
Now, granted, I am now getting, you know, horrible flashbacks to the 2016 election when we were all like, yeah, vote Trump in. We'll smoke this loser. Vote him in instead of Jeb Bush. Yeah. And, that didn't work out so well. So Yeah, maybe vote him in, but then eventually don't vote for him in the general election. Maybe.
And then eventually, please just keep Joe Manchin there.
Yeah. All right. So the Washington Post put out a really interesting article on Trump's really sketchy golf club purchases. Not like purchases he made at a golf club, but golf clubs that he has been purchasing, like entire, you know, golf courses.
Oh, I think meant like a club, like
no,
a three wood.
No.
Oh, okay.
Entire courses that are sort of these classic, you know, really beloved old golf courses in the UK. He spent tons of his own money in the last decade. When up to this point, his strategy had always been to spend using bank loans or investors.
Right.
He is on the record being like, anybody who spends their own money is a fucking sucker. Like,
right.
Yeah, no way.
Anyone who spends their own money probably has money.
Right. So it just seems really like he was known as king of debt back in the day because he would always take out loans and spend that money rather than spending his own money. And then he would bankrupt whatever he bought with the loans and then, you know, get out of the whole situation
then
by filing
declare
for bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy!
Is that how you declare bankruptcy?
According to Michael
just
Scott, it is.
It.
The office.
But so the Post looked into financial records and it turns out he spent $400 million in cash on these new properties. And nobody really knows where he's getting this
like
money
straight
from.
Cash?
Because, yeah, just straight up his
wow.
own money. It's like he's spending it like it's his own money to buy these golf courses in Scotland and Ireland. And since he's bought them, they've been such a failing proposition. He's had to pump $164 million more of his own money into keeping them running, essentially.
Wow.
Just to like keep them up and running and not like filing for bankruptcy. He's had to just pump in loads and loads of his own money. Which this is a really weird time for him to start spending his own money because his businesses were doing really badly. Like right prior to this, he had, you know, had his casino business like go under.
Right.
Most of his financial worth is tied up in the real estate industry. And this is during the Great Recession.
Right.
You might
right.
remember it.
Yes. When so, I just got out of college.
So at this time that
and I sold fucking weeping. T-shirts because yeah. I was, had a useless degree and then I got into politics anyway.
So people are wondering like where this money is coming from and like it doesn't really make sense, especially this is also around the time when he stopped being able to borrow money from actual banks
right.
and like American sources. Like the people who used to lend him money essentially were like, no, you keep losing
yeah.
everything. You suck at business.
They're like, also, how the fuck did you get in here? We have your picture at the security desk.
Right.
And be like, yo, don't even let this dude in the elevator.
Right. There's no loans on the record of him getting this money. But there are all these reports. And in fact, the big, like, groundbreaking report, I think, came on golf.com.
Which is amazing. This is
yeah.
the this
yeah.
is the era
they're,
we're
they're
in.
The biggest.
Yeah, exactly.
The Washington Post of the golf community.
You know, the muckrakers
right.
over at golf.com.
Right. More like the sand trap rakers.
Hey,
am I
there
right?
we go. There he
am
is.
Am I right? Fire, fire, fire.
Let him know.
So one of their undercover reporters, not undercover, just a reporter.
Yeah,
went,
just a guy.
Yeah, just went and golfed with the Trumps. And he was curious about this. He was like, hey, how did you guys get all of this money?
He was with like Eric and Donald or together, right?
It yeah,
like
it was Eric son? Trump, his son, the one that SNL makes fun of for being stupid, which is not fair, SNL. Listen to this story. He's really smart. So I'll just read you from the article. The guy says, so when I got in the cart with Eric, Dodson says, as we were setting off, I said, Eric, who's funding? I know no banks because of the recession, the Great Recession, have touched a golf course. You know, no one's funding any kind of golf construction. It's dead in the water the last 4 or 5 years. By the way, it's not out of the ordinary for a golf course to be losing money. Golf courses lose money. It's
right.
almost like buying a professional sports team. It's like a thing rich people do
like
for
a prestige
fun.
Thing, yeah.
yeah. It's not a good investment if you're like trying to bounce back financially. And so back to the article.
Yeah, like, hey, do you guys want to invest in my park that only like 60 people can use?
Right, exactly. So back to the article, the golf.com reporter said, and so he asks him like, how are you doing this? This is a terrible investment.
Yeah, no
nobody would give you
bank
the money.
Would touch it.
And you we're pretty sure you don't have the money. And So back to the article, he says, and this is what he said. He said, well, we don't rely on American banks. We have all the funding we need out of Russia. I said, really? And he said, oh, yeah, we've got some guys that really, really love golf, and they're really invested in our programs. We just go there all the time. So that was 3 years ago. He reported on this, like, before any of the Russia
shit. Right, it was, like, weird.
Yeah, so if you weren't reading Golf Digest or whatever.
Golf.com, no.
Golf.com, sorry. You might not have known that, like, this Russia thing was coming down the pike, but if you were, you're probably like, oh, yeah, this
doesn't
look good.
Trump has found some cool Russian golf enthusiasts. Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess if you're, like, the Russian mob or something.
Right.
You want to launder some money.
So his companies aren't publicly traded, so they don't have to do public disclosures other than the casino company that he bankrupted. So you can only look at, like, limited financing of the projects. But they were able to look at the UK ones, and they show just enormous amounts of capital flowing into these projects from unknown sources.
Mm.
And on paper, it says it's just coming from the Trump organization, but it's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Out of thin air.
Anybody who has looked at their financials says they aren't doing as well as they even pretend they are.
Right.
And even if they were, this would not be a thing you could do. And so the dossier, one of the people from Fusion GPS, who, you know, it's worth keeping in mind, were doing opposition research. So take this with somewhat of a grain of salt, but it's just that all these grains of salt that we keep hearing about from them keep lining up with all the other facts we're learning. But so this guy, Glenn Simpson, suggested that it seemed like the golf courses could be a money laundering scheme for the Russian mafia, which would explain dumping hundreds of millions of dollars into businesses that make zero profit and actually cost money.
Ah.
That's how you launder money, is like, yeah, that's
wash
how you
it, baby.
Make money disappear.
Is there a special slot for activewear?
Yeah, there you go. But he said that it seemed like for the beginning part of his career, Trump had connections to a lot of Italian mafia figures, and then gradually during the 90s became associated with Russian mafia figures. And it's just, these are things that are coming out now, and it seems like, oh, well, this could just be people, you know, trying to connect dots with Russian things. But this is all stuff that people are finding out, like, years and years ago,
like,
before
oh.
anybody even put the words Russia and Trump together in their mind.
Yeah, it was the Trump saying Russia together on right. their own, being like, oh, yeah, we got a lot of homies in Russia that can just toss us $100 million like it's nothing.
So
the other thing that was interesting about this story was hearing about how he tried to, like, when the Great Recession hit and his, like, businesses went totally in the shitter, how he was trying to argue, like, when with Deutsche Bank, who had, like, a huge, like, he owed a ton of money, was trying to be like, well, actually, like, maybe the payments I need to make maybe need to be smaller, because they say in this article, Trump's logic in that case, the 2008 financial crisis had crushed the real estate business so completely that it should be considered like an act of God.
Right.
Like, that he was even, this is how well he was doing as a business, right? That suddenly you want me to believe that someone who was trying to say, oh, act of God in court because right. of your, how the state of your business is to try and get out of paying back your debt, suddenly, within a couple years, you just got hundreds of millions of dollars shooting at your ass. And, well, look, it's good yeah. to have friends.
Right.
Also, if anybody, I don't care where you're from, but if you have $100 million, you're just trying to let me hold, holler at me at Miles of Gray. I have a few golf course ideas. They're not exactly golf courses, but let's talk.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some shit that isn't Trump or any of this bullshit. And we're back. And in case people are wondering, like, where all this Russia money would be coming from, it's estimated that Putin is the richest guy in the world. It's just that he hides the money with his friends. Like, there's a cellist, a classically trained musician, who is just happens to have, like, $3 billion in the bank. And
he must be pretty good.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's because he's Putin's homie and Putin just holds his money and the people around him.
Yeah, so, they say it's $200 billion is close to what Jeff Bezos is, like, I think around $130 billion.
Yeah. So Bezos is, you know, we talk about
he's
him
broke.
As the richest guy in the history of the world. Putin did a pretty smart thing by, you know, combining his dictatorship with being the richest guy in the history of the world. For real.
Yeah.
For real.
I guess we'll do a deep dive drinking game. You have to drink now because it's a deep dive.
Yeah, yeah. On how he got all that money, because it's actually pretty interesting. He came to power like by taking down all these oligarchs who were like mafiosa types, and then you know, so people were like, oh, that's great. You know, he's bringing an end to this crime wave decade. But then he just took all their money. so he took all of the rich people in Russia's money for the most part. All right, let's get into the real important news of the weekend. DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled!
I did not follow this as closely as...
We were all over it.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
my God. Yes, we were so all over this
story. Yeah, the internet seemed to be.
Yeah. Well, I guess back in 2014, this like interview that Khaled did came back, reared its head. Where they were talking about like performing oral sex on his wife, Nicole. And his said, I don't do that. Basically said, you got to understand, I'm the Don. I'm the king. That's what he said when he was on The Breakfast Club. And he just said, it's different rules for men. You got to understand, we the king. Okay, bro. I don't think so. I don't know what like pickup artist. Yeah, or I don't know if it's... he's just a very selfish partner.
Yeah,
clearly.
Must be the worst.
Yeah,
I have two hot tweets on it.
Can I?
Yes, please.
All right, so I was inspired, so that's why I have two. So one of them was more like BJ Khaled. Am I right, people?
There he is. Shots fired. Let him know. Major key.
And then this was the hot one.
Here we go.
This one set Twitter on fire,
oh,
guys.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah. And get the fire extinguisher.
Yeah, this is a safety issue. DJ Khaled still makes his wife 69 with him, but he just eats a roast beef sandwich the whole time.
Another one. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it got so many people going. So I forget who else tweeted. They're like, dude, this motherfucker got lost on a jet ski for like hours. You think he could find the clit? I forget who tweeted that. Some comedian on Twitter. But yeah, it got a lot of people talking. Even the Rock had to fucking come in and weigh on. He had a take. He said, clear his throat. As a man, I take great pride in mastering all performances. This is probably a little TMI. I will now quietly excuse myself from this fun thread. But I guess he just wanted to let people know he likes to eat also. That's but Anna Hosnier, super producer, you said you were very concerned. You said the Rock, it might be a safety hazard for a man that strong to perform oral sex on you. It's all right. I just want her to confirm that was her take. And then it sparked off a furious debate over what is too strong to perform oral sex and what the risks are.
Just, like, break you apart?
I mean, it's like his jaw is crazy.
Yeah. The tongue is supposedly the biggest muscle in the body.
But, he got dragged. But, you know, I don't think anyone thought DJ Khaled was a necessarily attentive lover.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No. He's probably, like, doesn't take his clothes off during sex,
oh,
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Like one of those.
But we were talking about it earlier before the show. Like, it must suck to be the wife, because not only do you not get that, but then he's running his mouth like, yo, this is our dynamic.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Hey, world.
Right. Yeah. I don't respect her. Yeah. She's not an equal.
Not only do I not do this thing, but I'm letting you know I don't do that thing. So she's getting hit twice.
What does your wife think? Who? Your wife, Nicole? Yeah. Oh, you mean head?
Yeah.
What? Because I go like this, head! And it's coming to the room because I'm the Don. Oh, so I married an axe murder reference?
Yeah, indeed.
Just go cry in your giant pillow. Anyway.
The big sports weekend. LeBron redeemed the NBA postseason for me.
Yes.
So I'm a Sixers fan. I never wanted to watch another NBA game after what happened on Saturday. They just did not play very well. To the point that they were just throwing the ball all over the court, like tons of turnovers. Stephen A. Smith, I was having flashbacks because he has come after my dad before, and this time he was coming after the head coach of the Sixers. My dad's an assistant with the Sixers, and he was coming after Brett Brown being like, he was out-coached in every game. And I was just like, I'm going to turn the NBA off for the rest of the postseason. I just don't care. And then LeBron went and redeemed himself.
Totally redeemed himself.
Just fucking unbelievable, man.
Yeah. Not that I was ever in any doubt that he was one of the best players ever, but like It's crazy when you really get to see those people like at the height of their powers, because like shots going in become like foregone conclusions almost. Yeah. And you're like, wow, someone can just will themselves to have a mastery of a game like this.
He's added this fadeaway to his repertoire.
It's insane.
That is, I've never seen it before.
I've seen like, height with a fadeaway. This is just so much horizontal.
Yeah, he like starts at the free throw line and ends up like between the 3-point line and like half court when he fucking makes the shot. Yeah. And it goes in every time. And it's just the craziest shot I've...
When did he start? It seems fairly recent that I've
been
seeing this
shot. Yeah,
he
made 6 of them in like the second half of game 2, I think. And then he hit a huge one. Like it was the second to last shot that he hit in game 3. And then he comes down the court. The Raptors tie it up. He gets the ball at the other end of the court, brings it up, and throws up this shot that from anyone else is garbage.
Yeah, you're screaming at
you
the TV.
Like,
what the fuck are you doing?
He is running out of bounds at a diagonal away from the basket and trying to make a bank shot.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the fuck are you doing? But because of how he's been playing in this season that he was supposed to be slowing down, there was never any doubt that it was going in. It was just like, well, how is this going in? I guess it's going to bank, even though he's like at an angle. It shouldn't be possible to bank it. But yeah, and it went in, and they won. And
foregone conclusion.
Don't even bother.
Like I said earlier, it's like you can't even defend it. All you can do is make the gesture as if you're defending it.
Yeah.
That's the best you can do. I don't even think fucking Dalsum from Street Fighter
with
an arm that could just keep up like, nope. Somehow he would even get around that.
People were shitting on Kyle Lowry. He's the Raptors point guard. And like his positioning on that play was really weird. He was like under the basket for some reason. But at the same time, it's like he's just realistic about the fact that like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing.
This guy is NBA Jam style on fire.
And Donald Glover had a good weekend too.
God damn. Didn't he just prove that he is a just multi-talent? I mean, we always knew he could make shows. It can make music. But yeah, SNL, he was super funny. And wow.
Posted one of the season's best episodes of SNL.
The fucking Migos sketch killed me. I just saw it this morning.
The therapy thing.
Teeth! Some of those ad-libs in the background were just killing me.
I feel invisible.
Visible! God.
And then he released a video for his new song, This Is America, that is the most I've seen people care about a music video.
Yeah,
and
it sparked. I mean, look, that talk about starting a debate, a discussion. I mean, there are people even. Yeah, it's such a conversation starter. I think the video is amazing.
Yeah.
And Hiro Murai, who directed it, who does
most of
his videos in a lot of Atlanta, and he's just an amazing director. Shout out to him. Shout out to the Japanese directors out here. But yeah, the video, my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredible. When was the last time people cared about it? I guess Beyonce. Like Beyonce videos people care about. Lemonade.
I think people forget about how powerful the medium is. And
yeah.
You see a lot of cookie cutter, trap, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Scissor for the cup. And then it's really refreshing to be reminded of what you can do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there are only a few directors who are like, when they make a video that I'm like, oh, I'm going to see that. Like,
yeah.
Hiro Murai is one of them. I think Roman Gavras is another one who I really like. Like when Michelle Gondry was making videos, like those people,
or like Spike Jones. And
yeah, they took it and they got that. Like, yo, you can really do something cool when you marry like really good music with really good imagery, rather than just like flex fest, which is like most videos.
The artist also has to want to though.
Yeah, and it's kind of
a shame that some just would rather go cookie cutter or stunting rather than hey, let me try to say something or.
Yeah, and God, I mean. There are people who are like, see, man, he's not like Kanye at all, blah, blah, blah. And I'm almost like, dude, stop bringing this Kanye up. They're not the same person.
Yeah, they're very different.
They're very different people. And let Donald rock because, God, I mean, he's just a – I thought the video was great, man. I remember watching it on the toilet because that's how I get my news.
Yeah, totally.
And my girlfriend, Her Majesty, was like, what are you doing in there? Because you've just been blasting one song over and over. And I'm like, this video, I'm like watching, I'm trying to look for the cut points and things. It's just a really great video. Really great weekend.
Yeah, it really was. If you're not a Sixers fan.
Wait, but tell me about the Derby. Because, again, to the people who were at the Kentucky Derby and they're like, you should really go. I was like, they got weed there? And they're like, no. Like, I don't know why I asked that, but like, as if it's like a rap show. But
do
I realized
like, for free, or like, what do you mean?
I mean, like, if you could fucking smoke there, like, you could rock. Sure. You could rock with the weed over there.
You would probably have to go in the infield.
Have you seen the way they dress? I don't think
that's why. When I look at it, I'm like, why the fuck would I go to the Kentucky Derby?
So that is the grandstands. There's also an infield that is just so the first year that I went to the Derby. Was very similar to this year's Derby in that it was pouring rain, and I was in the infield, and it just turned the field into like a slip and slide, and so everybody was just sliding around on their shirts, like on their like stomachs, and it was disgusting, but it was a lot of fun. And then you can some years what once you feel like becoming an adult, you go dressed up. Men just like wear suits, but women wear wild hats and shit. It's pretty dope.
Now, can you wear a fascinator? Is that good enough, or it has to be a big hat?
What is a fascinator?
Oh, my man. What is a fascinator? It's like what the queen wears. It's like a half hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
wild
yeah,
feathers and shit. Does that count, too, as a, like a hat?
I think so.
Like,
it's not technically a derby hat, but right, you could rock it.
Because they wear, like, the big-ass Melania Trump, like, white hat.
Right,
kind of thing,
the Melania Trump white hat.
As
exactly.
if that's her thing, but I was just reading an
the
article.
Floating Melania Trump white hat.
I was reading
hat.
An article about how sad her life is right now. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but, it's a crazy, drunken experience that, like, the year Smarty Jones won, I was standing in line behind this, like, 50-year-old gentleman who turned to me. He's like, I've been up for 2 days, and I finally know who's going to win this. I was like, well, this guy's like you're crazy, like, okay. But like, he's dressed up, but so is everybody at the Derby.
Right.
And
it's hard to tell who's an actual drunk mess.
Right. And he was like, it's going to be Smarty Jones. And then people start walking up to him as we were standing in line. They were like, yo, what's up, man? Like, this is the best lawyer in Louisville. Like, he's like the man. Like, he was apparently this respected attorney.
Wow.
And so I was just like, I'm betting on whatever the fuck betting on. And I ended up winning money on Smarty Jones.
Oh.
And that year I rode home from the Derby in the back of an ice cream truck because it's really hard to get out of there because Louisville is not built for, having the biggest party in America necessarily.
Wait, so you were just like, hey, you heading into town?
Yeah, essentially. Which way are you going?
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't eat any of my bomb pops back there.
Caught a cold, but it was worth it.
From all the mudsliding?
Yeah, from the mudsliding.
Is the partying in the grandstands, do they get wild in there too? Or is it's like
I mean, we
subdued?
Did. I don't think you're supposed to, right. But we did. One of my friends ended up throwing a chair, but he was just a loose cannon anyways that year.
The most well-dressed hooligan is throwing
exactly.
a chair.
Just a...
Can't tell people used to hang out with John Rocker.
Right. Yeah, that's the homie. But yeah. Yeah, I recommend the Derby. It's worth seeing one time in your life.
All right. Well, look, I think obviously once this show hits critical mass and then like House of Works, like you could go anywhere. We're like, we're doing Derby Week.
Right.
Louisville.
Zeitgang Derby Week.
Zeitgang Derby Week. Live
from
the infield.
It is a whole week. They have Thunder over Louisville. It's like one of the biggest fireworks shows. And it's kind of.
I guess it's so weird because it's so abstract to me growing up in L.A. that. The Kentucky Derby was just like a white people thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where I was just like, the hats? Okay.
It's not,
I'm not
a part of the
horse.
Like,
it's for
just
me
a thing
in LA,
that
like,
to you,
I,
no.
Yeah. Like, I know about drinking in the streets and our, like, sort of holidays based on, like, immigrant communities in LA or whatever.
Right.
And, like, LA doesn't really have that kind of pronounced thing where I feel like everyone's like, yo, are you going to LA for blah, blah, blah?
Right.
I will say it is very white. So I don't know.
Well, what are they going to run me out on a rail?
They will not run
me
out on a rail.
If I wear a MAGA hat, they're going to be like, hey, get this guy into the box.
That's right.
Which I might do. That might be a performance piece with how I'm treated at Kentucky Derby with a Black Lives Matter shirt on versus how I'm treated at Kentucky Derby with an all MAGA out.
If like twins just went to a place, just dressed differently.
Right.
Yeah.
The exact same.
See how that
goes. Wow, that's a great social experiment. Cool.
Let's do it.
Hey, some weird problematic YouTuber, go do it.
Identical twin Zeitgangs.
Yeah.
Let us know. Holler at us.
Yeah, where you
ahead
at?
Of next year's Derby. Fahim, it has been a pleasure having you, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Where can people find you? You have a stand-up special, right?
Yeah, I do. So, I mean, Twitter, Fahim Anwar. Instagram, same thing, Fahim Anwar. And then the special, it's on iTunes and Amazon, but I just chopped it up and put it on a YouTube playlist, so the whole special is pretty much on YouTube.
There you go.
It's my pinned tweet, so just find it. It's just go to @FahimAnwar, and the very top tweet, the special will be there.
Nice.
And then I'm shooting a Comedy Central sketch special with my sketch group this month.
Nice.
So I don't know
what's
when that will come
out. What's the name of your sketch group?
Goat Phase. Hassan Minhaj and Aristotle Theorist, Asif Ali, myself.
Is it going to be called just like Goat Phase?
I don't, maybe. We don't know the name yet. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Well, look out for that. That'll be coming out. And you guys are funny as fuck.
Hey, thanks.
Funny AF, Dad.
Funny AF, guys. Miles.
Yes, thank you so much. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what will that be today?
The song is the video for This Is America.
Okay.
And I don't know how we do that. I don't know if we have the technology is there yet for a podcast to, as it plays, you are seeing the video.
Just tell them when to sit down and pull it up.
Sit down. We'll play the track, but guys, do yourself a favor. Check out Childish Gambino's video for This Is America, his commentary on the state of this country.
Yeah.
But yeah, the song is amazing. It's God, but the video I can't say enough about. Yeah. The song is also so good. But again, Childish Gambino, letting people know, guess what? You tried out for SNL twice and didn't make it, but you don't need SNL.
All right, so everybody, pause this podcast. Go get in front of the Childish Gambino This Is America video. All right, now start it again. Okay, so now mute it, but then hit play so that it lines up with the version that we're playing right now.
In 3, 2, 1. We just want to
slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, I'm so cold like,
yeah.
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah.
I'm on get it. Watch me move. This is Sally. That's a tool.
Yeah.
On my Kodak.
Black.
Know that.
Yeah.
Ooh. Get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Work it. Yeah. 100 bands. Contraband.
Contraband.
I got the plug on with Hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Baka.
America. I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Get your money, let me.
Buckle, hey, this is black man, this world, an expensive foreign day.
Just a big dog, yeah. My Kindle came in a backyard. My Barbarian life was a dog. Barbarian life.